Matthew 24. This passage is Jesus talking about the end times. Can anybody agree we're in the end times? Maybe the end of the end times. You know, it's quite an amazing time out there. I mean, we've had manifestations of Matthew 24 left and right. The 24-hour news cycle is full of all that this chapter is talking about. We won't read all this because there's so much to it. But Jesus was sitting, if you look up there in Matthew 24, starting in verse number 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him and showed him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He's talking about the destruction of the temple. It came at 70 A.D., so that part is already fulfilled. And then he said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" And then they go on, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" Now they're talking more about our day. He's already in the flesh in their day, so they couldn't be talking about that. "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So he's talking more over in our time now. I mean, the disciples are asking. So notice Jesus, he answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's the first thing he said. Yeah. "Take heed no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, we just turn on the news and there's that. "See that you be not troubled." That's the second thing he said. Don't be deceived. Number two, don't be troubled. Boy, isn't that good news right after wars and rumors of wars? "See that you be not troubled." Wars, of course, we understand what that is. Rumors of wars has to do with war talk, war mongering, pushing for war, threats of war, suspicions that there's going to be a war. If you look up the word rumors, it's just hearing all about this stuff. So he said, verse 6, "They shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Oh, my goodness. Now, when you read that, "all these things must come to pass," you almost look at that and think, well, he's saying that's the will of God. If you look up the word "must come," those three words, "must come to pass" in the Greek, it's a statement that we use. In fact, it would be better translated "inevitable." He's saying it's inevitable that all these things come to pass. Now, that doesn't mean inevitable because that's the sovereign will of God, but inevitable because of the fallen nature, the sinful nature of man.
Yes, sir.
See, he's not talking about what's going to happen in the church here. Well, he's warning against deception in the church, but I mean, these wars and all the famines and plagues and all these things we're going to read about. I don't know if we'll read all of it, but you know about all this. And that's not something in the church. It's happening out there in the world. So he brings that up and he goes on and says some things. Look at verse number 7. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places." Well, we just had a pestilence. Pestilence means epidemic. That's a fast spreading disease. That's pestilence. I mean, we got out of a pestilence and went into a war. In fact, they stopped talking about the pestilence because of the war. They forgot about we had a pestilence. And earthquakes, we've gotten more accustomed to those things. Not around here, but you understand. "All these things are the beginning of sorrows." Now, you need to see that beginning. Say that out loud, the beginning.
Beginning.
It's important that you see that because he mentions something about the beginning later. Or actually in Luke, we'll look at it. "There shall be," this is verse 9, "there shall be, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." The amount of hate that has risen in our culture just in the last 10, 15 years is like, I mean, we couldn't have imagined it hardly back there 10, 15 years ago, but it has gotten to be an epidemic, especially against good people or righteous people. I mean, now the fulfillment of 1 Timothy 3, where good people are bad and bad people are good. You know, and so he's talking about that hatred, and of course that comes with persecution. If you look at the, let's just read on, verse 10, "There shall be many offended." Boy, my goodness. "And shall betray one another." Okay, I've had that too. "And shall hate one another. And many fall. Well, that's hatred against good people, hatred against the body of Christ. But that's also hatred between races, all that kind of stuff. And then he says, and this is all prophesied for our day. And then in verse number 11, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. He mentioned that up there in verse number 4 and 5. And besides iniquity, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Talking about the love for God. And of course, love for brothers and sisters in Christ. But because iniquity shall abound. So he's saying sin will be on the rise. All right, verse number 13. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Well, there's another thing you need to underline. There's you and my job. Stay in victory till the end. Stay in victory till the end. Verse number 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Remember, he said earlier, these are just the beginnings, that's not the end. So the gospel getting out, see, God's not waiting for Russia to attack Israel before he sends Jesus back. He's waiting for the gospel to get out. He's long-suffering for everybody to have a chance to hear the gospel. And that's what we're to be busy about. That's what we're to be focused on. Not focused on, you know, men's hearts failing them for fear. Remember Luke 21? Of looking on all these things that are coming on the earth. You can either look at that or look at your assignment. Your assignment's to help get the gospel out to all the world, including Cedar Rapids. Then he said, there shall be, let's see here, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel in the prophet. Now, I'll just skip some of this because he's talking about the Antichrist coming into the temple, sitting down where there's going to be a rebuilding of the temple in Israel, in Jerusalem, there on the Temple Mount. Praise God. They say not, but it'll happen. The Bible says so. And the temple is going to be built, and then there's going to be restoration of the Jewish sacrifices, not anything to do with the body of Christ or the blood of Jesus, but it's all types and shadows. But then the Antichrist is going to break the treaty. He's probably going to be the one to make the treaty to build the temple. Then he's going to break the treaty, come in and sit down and say, now you worship me. And demand it. We all know about that. So he's talking about that here. That's actually over in the middle of the tribulation. The thing about events, the spiritual events in the earth, is they cast their shadow on things. They cast their shadow before they actually arrive. The tribulation is not going to just be, oh, we're having a wonderful church age, and then one day the switch is flipped and wham, it's the tribulation. No, it's going to, evil men and seducers are whacked worse and worse and worse until it gets to this big thing called the tribulation. See, we're seeing the beginnings of the tribulation. I didn't say we're in the tribulation. I'm saying we're seeing those kinds of things where it's going to get really bad in the tribulation. I don't want you to say, I don't want you to go away and say we're in the tribulation. I didn't say that. I didn't mean to say that. So when ye shall see these things, then he said, you know some things by that. Now, let's skip over here. Let's go down here. Let's go down to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall give her. Now this is over in the end here. But I don't consider us to be here at this time. And then he said in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with heaven, clouds with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now that looks like at the end of the tribulation, Jesus is going to come back and get the church. So that means that it looks like we're going through the tribulation. You have to understand, in my study of the book of Revelation, there's actually three raptures. One in the for the church before it really gets on. One in the middle of the tribulation, and one at the end of the tribulation. I didn't know that for a long time, but as I kept studying, I kept seeing different. Well, this doesn't fit with that one. That one doesn't fit with this one. So it has to be two different events. So anyway, we won't get into all that. That's not the point here this morning. Let's go down here to verse. Let's see. I'm trying to save some time here. Let's go over to verse 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, but the angels, not even the angels, but my Father in heaven only. It'll be like the days of Noah. Let's see. Let's go down here. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. That's another assignment to us. Remember he said, don't be deceived. Number two, don't be troubled. And then he says, watch. In other words, pay attention to your spiritual condition. Stay on assignment. Stay busy with what you're supposed to be doing. And watch. Amen. He's coming in an hour, you think not, verse 44. And then he starts talking about, from 45 to the verse 51, he starts talking about those who are servants in the kingdom of God and what they're supposed to be doing during this time. He basically says, stay on task. I'm just paraphrasing. Some people are going to say, the Lord's delaying my coming. You see this here, verse 48. My Lord delays his coming, and he'll begin to smite the fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. In other words, he's just living to the flesh. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder. In other words, be about what you're supposed to be doing. Don't be looking at all that's going on all around you. Amen. So anyway, that's just a paraphrase of some of that chapter, what's in there. Go over to Luke 21 real quickly. I'm going to take a little extra time that I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. But Luke 21 has some of the similar accounts of this Luke's account of what Jesus said. Let's put it that way. And you can read some of the same things. But look at verse number verse 10. Nation shall rise against nation. We just read that. Earthquakes in diverse places and so forth. Then he said in verse number 13, he's talking about persecution and them putting you before on trial before, governments and so forth. And then he said in verse number 13, it shall turn to you for a testimony.
Yes.
Woo, glory to God.
Yes.
In other words, God's going to use you to testify.
Yes.
And you're going to get a testimony. They're going to try to destroy you, and you're going to get a testimony. How many of you know things like Peter and the apostles gotten out of jail by an angel? There's going to be a whole lot of the miraculous to preserve and protect God's people in the middle of all this. Hallelujah. And so verse number, let's go down here. He mentions hated of all men again. You're going to have to get a tough skin in these last days. Amen. Verse 17, you're going to be hated of all men. Man, people sometimes, they just can't handle just a little bit of persecution. You're going to have to toughen up. Amen. Well, so-and-so didn't agree with that. Well, just toughen up. Amen. Because it's not going to get better.
No, it's not.
Well, that was weak. Anyhow, in your verse 19. Well, let's go to verse 18. Therefore, there shall not a hair of your head perish.
Yeah.
Boy, you need to settle in on that one.
Yeah.
Verse 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Your soul is your emotions.
That's right.
In other words, just get a hold of your emotions.
Yes.
Toughen up.
Yes.
Keep it on assignment.
Yeah.
Stay on what God's called you to do, and don't quit. He that endures to the end will be saved.
That's right.
I mean, we're not looking for death. We're looking for salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then so let's go down here in verse number, I should have marked some of these verses. Verse 25, there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. That's going to be especially during the tribulation. Distress of nation with perplexities. With perplexity, actually. The sea and the waves roaring. Now, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, let me read verse number 25 in the Amplified because it's important that you understand this for what we're going to share. There will be signs in the sun and moon, stars upon the earth, and stars. And upon the earth there will be distress, trouble, and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity. Now here's why. Without resources. Left wanting. Embarrassed. And in doubt, not knowing which way to turn. At the roaring, the echo of the tossing of the sea. Now that could be tsunamis or whatever. But seas is a term, it's a type of the masses of people sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's going to say the masses of people are going to be here roaring and tossing.
Yeah.
In other words, stirred by demonic powers.
Yeah.
Great. We've seen great upheavals in, not that great, but some to a degree, where parts of our cities here in America were taken over by gangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Boy, that's lawlessness.
Yes.
Needs to be put down. Anyway, and so notice this, distress and trouble and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity without resources.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't think it could happen in America that you'd have to wait in line at Walmart to get toilet paper. The supply chain got disrupted, you know, during the famine or whatever you call that thing, pestilence. I mean, stuff's crazy right now. And now we've got interest rates rising, and we've got economies printing money until it's not worth anything. And if you get to looking at all that, you could go, ooh, okay. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep our eyes. We're going to keep our eyes on the one who takes care of us all the way through it until we get the job done of reaping this harvest. And then, whoo, we're out of here. Amen. Then let's go over here. Whew, my goodness, there's so much in these passages. Let me go back to King James. Let's go to look at verse number 27. And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Then when you when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Oh my goodness. Your redemption draws. Now, somebody said, aren't we saved? We're redeemed? Yeah, he's talking about the rapture is what he's talking about. There's, somebody said, are we saved? Yeah, I was, am being, and I will be. Talking about different parts of our being. But look at verse number 34. Well, let's go back to verse, there's so much here. Let's go back to verse number, let's go back to verse 31. When you, verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That's very important. Very, very important. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Just keep that in your mind. Point to your head and say, okay, I'm going to log that right there. Because we're going to come back to that. When you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's another key statement that you need to get. We're in the last days where there's a lot of stuff shaking. And there's a reason it's shaking. And I'm going to get into it this morning. But there's a lot of things shaken, so for one reason, so that what cannot be shaken?
All right now. All right now.
The word. And those who stand on it.
That's right.
Remember Matthew 7? He who overhears these sayings of mine does them. I like him. The man built a house on the sand. On the rock. And that wind and the storm cannot shake it. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff all around you. But don't be afraid. Or like the old preacher said, afeared.
At all.
Because if you're building your life on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the rock of hearing and doing the word, you're gonna be inside watching a show on the outside. Praise be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's just living for the flesh. You look it up, means partying, just living for the flesh. And drunkenness, and look at this, cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares.
Amen.
It's going to come on everybody like a snare. Watch you therefore, verse number 36. Then pray always. The rest of the time you can do whatever you got to do. But pray always. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. There is a way out.
Yes, there is. Yes, there,
there
is.
There is a way of escape.
Come on.
It's called catch the rapture.
Yes.
I'm on the first load out. How about you? Well, there's a whole lot there, and we just need to get into it. Now, notice back here in verse 20. This is Matthew again. Matthew 24. Go back there. I want you to look at verse number 8. There's an interesting statement there. Matthew 24, verse number 8. Is this good?
Yes.
I mean, I think in the day we live in, we need to look at this a little bit.
Yes.
Remember Jesus told me when he called me at 8 years old. I say 8 years old. I didn't write it down, but I think I was around 8 years old. Then when he called me, he said, go tell my people I'm coming soon. Tell them to get ready.
Yeah, get ready.
Hey, we live by faith and we stay in victory.
Right.
We don't need to say, Jesus, come now, my rent's due. Because we're living in victory. But that doesn't mean that we're not out of here eventually.
That's right.
When Jesus comes back, though, he's going to be looking for faith. He said, when I come, will I find faith on there? Will I find people living in the faith that is the victory over all this stuff? Now, look at verse 8, Matthew 24. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now notice that. That might have got by you. It got by me for years. But I noticed something. And that word sorrows is, if you look up the word sorrows, let's notice how it says, the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. Tell your neighbor, beginning.
Beginning.
The word sorrows, I got to back up. Beginning.
Yes, sir.
Remember Jesus said in Luke 21, whichever verse that was, 28, I believe, when you see these things begin to come to pass. Begin. To come to pass. Notice he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. Amen. We're going to be cared for in whatever part of it we see around us down here. I believe the church has gone in the tribulation. But whatever, because remember I said, events cast their shadow before they arrive. And we're seeing that shadow cast. What is a shadow? It gets dark. I lived for a while in Oklahoma, and dark clouds. Clouds like I hadn't seen in Pennsylvania. I looked at them like, oh, that's different. I've never seen something like that. That's just not black. That's green and ugly.
Yeah.
It just looked like something's going to come out of there. Maybe a monster or something, you know. But it'd get dark. It'd be, it's like there's an ominous, something's coming. What? You know? And that's what's happening. You can see that shadow. Getting darker and darker. Isaiah said that gross darkness would cover the earth. Amen. He didn't say us. He said the earth. So we're seeing the beginning of that. The beginning of what? Sorrows. That in the Greek is the word for birth pangs. The beginning of sorrows rather than sorrows. It should have been translated birth pangs or birth pains. All the women know what I'm talking about. We know nothing. Amen. It's got to be comparative to shooting at a big buck and missing, though. I mean, it's just got to be something like that, right? Some of you were falling asleep. Amen. Something like that, right? Something like that. Back to the word. Birth pangs. Notice he calls these things that we're getting ready to see, or already seeing some of it. He's called it birth pangs. What is that? Birth pangs. This coming of this end of this age, what is going to be happening and is already happening to in measure around us, is giving birth to something. Y'all still out there? We're at the end of one age, coming into another age.
Yes, sir.
Are you out there still? The turmoil you and I are seeing around us right now is the birthing pains of coming into something that we haven't been experiencing down here.
Amen.
Now, when Jesus said in Luke 21:31, when you see these things begin to come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand.
Yeah.
We read that. The kingdom of God. When you see these things, when you see these birth pangs, let me ask you a question. When a lady in the church start having birth pains, she's pregnant, going to have a baby? What's nigh? There's a baby coming. Those birth pains say, hope, it's right now, right? It's coming, it's coming. Now, he said here, when you see these things begin to come past, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So that's what this is. Boom. The kingdom age. Oh. More specifically, the millennial reign. That's what we're up against. Now, if you haven't studied the millennial reign, you don't shout much. The Lord's been talking to me about that too. The 7-year tribulation is just the time of birth pangs to giving birth to the new age. It's a time of destroying world governments, corrupt economic systems, and wicked people so that the righteous take over.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, nothing comes without a birth. Tell your neighbor, nothing comes without a birth. Amen. So Jesus said these days would be like a woman having a baby. That's what these things are. Now, you know as well as I do that a woman, you know, she's getting close. She knows it's going to be soon, but she might not have any birth pains. Then one day she gets a little, you know, okay. But you know, it might go away for, I don't know, ladies tell me, an hour or two, a couple hours, different for different situations. But, you know, you think, okay, stay by the car, okay? And then some more. And some more. And they become more intense, and the time between them gets shorter. That's what you're seeing. Why, Pastor? It seems like it used to be some crisis, and then we'd go a year or two, and then crisis again. But now it's crisis, and that crisis is interrupted by another crisis. Getting closer, 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 closer. That baby's coming. What's the baby in this case? The kingdom. That's Jesus physically on the earth, ruling and reigning, and we reigning with him. But you and I are in training for that right now. Oh, I had a dream the other night. I can't get to it all. The Lord showed me some things about what's coming. Wow. I know you're hungry, but I can't get into it. I don't have time. I wouldn't do it justice, so we'll get to it. Praise the Lord. When you see these things beginning to come to pass, know ye that the kingdom is nigh at hand. In other words, that's what's coming. That's what's coming. So this is not time to be afraid. It's a time to shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, these things are the birth pains of this new age. I don't mean new age like the world, you know, new age stuff. But I'm talking about this new era of the kingdom thousand-year reign. If you don't know all about that, you ought to read up about it. Hallelujah. And so the closer a baby gets to birth, the less time there is between each of the mother's birth pains. And the more intense those become. So whenever you see one news cycle, I mean, you can't hardly get a breath. I'm not encouraging you to watch the news to this degree, but if you're caught up with the news, you can't hardly get a breath between one crisis and the next anymore.
Yeah.
You could go, oh, like that's, oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
Listen, the devil wants you just engrossed in that so you're not busy about your assignment.
Yeah.
Amen. And so this the culmination of all this, of these birth pangs, is going to be this chaotic global period called the tribulation. But out of that is coming the age of the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
The tribulation. I mean, out of the tribulation is coming the millennial reign. Hallelujah. And so one scandal appears on the news and gets taken over by another scandal. One crisis gets interrupted by another crisis. One war going to interrupt another war. When you see that, look up. Don't look around. Oh. Notice he didn't say, when you see that, freak out. You're dead, you know. No, he said, when you see it, look up. Your redemption. See, what's going to happen is you're taken out. It's all through the Bible. God's divine pattern is that it's in Isaiah. What is it? I don't have the reference here somewhere. There's two different messages to do two different people. All throughout generations, but especially in this time. It's in Isaiah, somewhere here. He said, say to Isaiah 26:9. Is that it? That's not it. Anyway, no, that's another one I want to go to. But there's a passage in Isaiah, maybe it's chapter 10. It says, say to the wicked, it'll not be well with thee. But say to the righteous, it'll be well with thee. That's all through times of judgment in the earth. That's what this tribulation is. It's a time of judgment, which shouldn't make you afraid. If you understand judgment, if judgment scares you, then you're on the wrong side of it. There's a two-edged sword, and you get on the right side of it, you get a harvest off of all you've been sowing, just like they're getting a harvest all the wickedness they're sowing. Judgment excites me. I told you I'm having to be careful. I'm kind of getting a little giddy here now. Now you understand that. I'll share a lot more about that. But all through the times of judgment, the people of God were protected. They weren't in the judgment. It wasn't intended for them. Like Egypt had plagues, but Israel had no plagues. You know what those plagues did? Those 10 plagues, what is it, 10 plagues? Do you know what they did? They brought deliverance to the people of God from a corrupt, abusive, tyrannical government. Some of you aren't even seeing what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Evil men and wicked men are going to get worse and worse. Deceiving, being deceived, hating and hating others, and oppressing good people. But they're getting into judgment, which is delivering us. So we see that. God's people didn't have what they had in Egypt. When we see God, when we see judgment coming on the whole planet in the form of a flood, God took his people. There were only a few people righteous on the earth. And put them in a boat. Had them build a boat. They were ready. They listened to the Holy Ghost. They were prepared. They escaped. Everybody else, glug, glug, glug. That's right. Whenever he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, hey, Lot, get your family. Get out of there. They were the only righteous ones left. You know what God was doing? You know what judgment is? It is a curb against Satan, wickedness, sin, and all the corrupt governments and all that. It's a curb against all that taking over the whole world and no more righteous in the earth. God's got other tools in his toolbox. We're going to look at it in a bit. So you see that pattern. There's always a deliverance for the people of God. And judgment actually brought the deliverance. It wasn't intended for God's people. Tell your neighbor, that's pretty good. I'm gonna latch on to that. Amen. Praise God. So these things that you're beginning to see are the law of sin and death. There is a cycle in the world called the law of sin and death. There's also a cycle called the law of righteousness and glory. But the law of sin and death, both of those are the law of sowing and reaping. That law is in the earth. There's not a single man. The Bible calls God the righteous judge of all the earth. It says that about him over and over and over again. Old and New Testament. He will not let one work go unjudged. Good or bad. He won't let one thing. Remember, he said, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That would be unrighteous for him to not give you a harvest off of anything you did for God. Same thing true with wickedness. He's the righteous judge. He doesn't pervert judge. And so wickedness has to be dealt with. It is the law he put in the earth called the law of sowing and reaping. In one sense of the word, you could say it's not really him doing it directly. It's just he set the law into motion, backs off, and lets people decide which side they're going to get on. By living in sin and disobedience to God, people open themselves up to it, open the door to the devil, and give place to the devil to do these things. God's desire is that none of it happen. His desire, I think it's Proverbs 16:9. I apologize, I got so much here, I don't know if I can find it quick enough. It talks about people turning from wickedness because of the fear of the Lord. His desire is that people turn because of reverence for God. That's his best. But some people won't do that. But he's got other tools in his toolbox to keep this planet from being taken over. Go to Isaiah 26. We were going to go there a few minutes ago. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26 is a verse that God has brought to me a number of times and talked to me about it. Verse number 9. I believe this, I hope I wrote this down right. Tell me if I'm quoting this right. I don't think I'm paraphrasing here. Isaiah 26:9. This is a paraphrase. It basically says, when God's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. I think I might have paraphrased, but that's pretty close. That's it? When thy judgments or God's judgments? Yeah, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. What is righteousness? To do right. Amen. To do right. Amen. Some of the things, I've known this in my heart for a long time, and I never said much about it because I wanted to prove it with other proven ministers. I wanted to ask them, am I right about this? And I don't know if I've shared it with anybody that said, no, I don't think that's right. I've known, we talk about the great outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. Thank God for that. We talk about the signs and wonders and how it's going to bring in the harvest. Thank God for that. Believe it all. Believe it all. Still believe it. Believe it stronger now than I ever have. But I've always known there's more to it than that. We have signs and wonders now, to a degree. And people, whatever. I don't know. They just probably paid them to say that or something, you know. And so I've always known there was more. There was going to be something happen that would get people's attention. And I kept knowing in my heart, there's more to the end times than signs and wonders causing people to rush the church. I always knew there was going to be a lot of shaking going on. And people are like, whoa, what's going on? And they need something to latch hold of. So I've been asking some people. I said, you know, I've always known, I know we're going to have the outpouring of the Spirit and do have the outpouring of the Spirit, and we'll have more and more the further we get closer, you know. Just like, listen to this, just like the closer they get to the tribulation, the more and more what they're going to reap in the tribulation is going to manifest. The closer we get to eternity, the more and more of that glory we're going to enter into is going to manifest here. I've always known that. I always known that. And I still believe that, but I always knew there was more. And I asked him, is there more? I kept sensing there's more, and I sense it's a lot of shaking, like these end times events right here, that's going to get people's attention. Because right now, we don't have their attention. Anybody in church around 9/11? I was in Rhema Church. 2001 was that? 9/11, the Sunday after that happened, and the Sunday after that. The church was back.
You're right.
But it seems like everything's going to be okay, and they filtered back out. That was just one event. What about one after the other after the other after the other? It's going to shake everything that can be shaken. Oh, and people are going to wake up. That's what this is. When God's judgments enter in the earth, the people, the inhabitants of the world, learn righteousness. We don't have to learn righteousness by judgment. We learn righteousness from the Word. We judged ourselves and have not need no need of judgment. But there's some people that don't pay attention to the Word. Amen. There's some things, including the great harvest of the people of the earth into the kingdom, that will not come to pass just because of signs and wonders only. It will come to pass because God's judgments are in the earth. Amen. When people won't listen to judgment out there, there's other things that can teach them. I mean, excuse me. When people won't listen to the Word, the judgment out there that will teach them. I mean, that's not, somebody said, are you saying God does it that way? Listen. It's like somebody disobeying God and getting in trouble for it and then running back to God. We've all done that. I've done that. But did God do that to send this? No, I got on the wrong side of the law of sowing and reaping. Did I hurt for it? Did it get my attention? But it wasn't because God sent something bad to get my attention. But something bad came, not because God sent it, and it got my attention.
That's so good.
According to the book of Revelation, there will be some people, even all the way to the end, that will still mock God when all this fire is falling from heaven and stuff. They'll run in the caves and mock God. Well, you know, he gave them chances many different ways. Tell your neighbor, that's pretty good preaching. Judgment can teach. Notice he said, when his judgments are under the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn. You know, you tell your children, don't do that. And they can learn that way. Or they can do it and get a spanking and learn. There's a lot of folk don't like what I'm preaching this morning. Because the extreme message of grace think there's no more thing as judgment. That all fell on Jesus. It did, but not everybody's receiving it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, well, you know, God's gracious. He's merciful. You're right. He's merciful. Somebody said, all this talk about judgment. What about the mercies of God? Isn't God merciful? The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. But he's running out of mornings. He's running out of mornings. He's running out of time. He's not out of mercy. He's out of time. Oh, my, my, my. This is so big in my heart. I don't think I can get it out in 3 services. We're going to just keep going, though.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's really people choosing. They could get on the other side of the law of sowing and reaping and wouldn't have to be dealt with that way.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, here it is, Proverbs 16:6. It's best, I'm paraphrasing here, it's best that a man depart from evil because of the fear of the Lord. That's God's best. See, God's not a God out there just wanting to smack people. And really, it's not him smacking them. It's the devil. It's him removing his protecting hand, which gives access to the devil access to all that. It's not him doing the smacking. It's him saying, I can no longer protect them. I would be unjust. He would have to answer to us if we are serving him and doing right. We miss it, but we repent. You know what I'm talking about. And we're spared from wickedness because of that, or the work of the enemy. And other people don't judge themselves at all, and they're still spared.
Right.
Well, what good is it for me to serve God then?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
See, he is the righteous judge of all the earth. So he will have to remove his hand certain times, or else everything he said in his word is a lie.
That's right. Amen.
So it's sowing and reaping.
Amen.
That's really, more specifically, it's the enemy, God's protective hand removed, and the enemy having access. So it's best that man depart from evil because of the fear of the Lord. But, so that's not, so judgment isn't God's best, right? But for the church's sake, who is still in the earth, things will have to be set right down here. Our eternity, we think about eternity in heaven. Our eternity is on this planet. We're in heaven for 7 years. 7 earth years. And we come back to rule and reign. God made this planet for us. We'll probably have access to be there in a split second too. I don't mean that. But I'm just simply saying we're going to rule and reign forever down here, the Bible said. But it's going to be a renovated place. And the government, the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. And we will rule and reign forever. Mm. Hallelujah. Get used to making decrees. Hallelujah. So the Bible says over and over again, he's the righteous judge of all the earth. Let's go on here to Hebrews 6:2. You don't have to turn there. Just write it down. It says that judgment is a foundational doctrine of Christ. That means there's a lot of Christians that aren't even foundational. Hebrews 6:2. Now, your and my judgment fell on Jesus. I said, your and my judgment fell on Jesus. That's why this doesn't belong to us. But that doesn't mean that Ecclesiastes, the last verse, I think it's the last verse in Ecclesiastes, doesn't say he will bring every work into judgment. You know, even you and I's life down here in this life, we're going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account for it. Well, that'll make you sober. Amen. But judgment's the foundational doctrine of Christ. Most Christians don't hardly know anything about it. They stay away from it. They're afraid of it. Well, if you're afraid of it, that's because you don't know much about it. You study times of judgment in the Bible. It was times of great signs and wonders to deliver God's people. It's a wonderful time for the people of God. When judgment fell on Egypt because they wouldn't obey, God didn't want to do that, but they wouldn't. Pharaoh wouldn't listen. So when it fell to deliver God's people, after it was all over, nobody in Israel that got out of Egypt because of it said, man, that was a terrible time. No, they came out and said, that was wonderful. God delivered us. Somebody said, judgment's terrible. Not really. It's good. It's your deliverance. Come on, somebody say amen. That's what we're up against. We're in the birth pangs of this thing. Praise God. I said praise God. So, it's not a bad thing. And God is still able to handle this situation.
Amen.
And he'll get it done. It's going to look just like the Bible said, but we're going to come out the other side in a glorious time. On the other side of judgment is always glory. Hallelujah. 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 It's going to turn out just like he said it's going to turn out. Yep. And I read the end of the book. We win. Yep. Yeah. I said hallelujah. Now, let me go talk a little bit about this subject of judgment. A lot of Christians don't understand it. Genesis 15, 14 through 16. He said, I'm not going to let you attack certain people until a certain time because their judgment is not yet full. Yeah. Or their iniquity, excuse me. Their iniquity is not yet full. That gives you revelation of what judgment is. Judgment is when sin fills up a person's life, a nation's life. So every now and then it has caught up to the whole planet. Yeah. The flood was a judgment on the whole planet.
Right.
Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction was just two cities. Or I think there was a couple other ones around there. So judgment is when sin fills up a nation or something, a person's life or something like that, until it overflows into harvest.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
The Bible still says the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but Jesus took it all. Yeah, for those who receive it. Through faith.
That's right.
That's you and I's way out. And then continually judging ourselves.
Yes.
If we find ourselves doing wrong, then, nope, Lord, forgive me. I judge myself. I'm going to stop doing that.
That's right.
Amen. That's how you stay over here where on the other side of this.
Amen.
Are you understanding what we're talking about?
Yes.
And so Jesus drank the full cup of God's judgment for all men.
Yes.
But only those who receive him are spared and given the payment that he took is applied to them.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
This judgment that we're seeing in the tribulation and we're seeing coming, we're seeing the birth pangs of it, this doesn't really belong to the church.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Unless the church is out there living in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Still doesn't belong to them, but they're giving place to it. They're yielding to it.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
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 This world system all through history has been full. Remember this revelation or the dream really that Joseph had of in whenever, was it Nebuchadnezzar had that dream? Forgive me if my Bible history's not right. But he had that dream and there was 7 years, there were seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. And then the seven skinny cows, which was a time of famine, really, the fat cows were eaten up by that. And he had that dream. He's like, what is this? And he couldn't get anybody. Remember then, was it Daniel? I apologize. Joseph. Thank you. He gave the interpretation. He said, there's coming 5 very productive years. And then there's coming 5 years, or excuse me, I say five, seven. 7 very productive years, 7 very years of famine. And those years are going to eat up all the produce from the 7 good years. And he said, I advise you to start storing up in these good years. That's actually how Egypt became a world power at the time. How they were destroyed from being a world power was whenever they wouldn't obey and let the people of God go. Destroyed their economy. And that's how they lost world status, world power status.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
Amen. It pays that you listen to God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, but that story, those 7 years and 7 years, you know the story, is a type of what we see in our economy. Good and bad, good and bad. I mean, things are up and down, up and down. I'm not saying your life, but I'm saying in the economy. That happens all over the world. That happens. That's happened all through history, to be honest with you. Y'all still out there?
Yes, sir.
It's not political.
Nope.
Politics responds to it, but it's not political. It's a spiritual law. Sin and death, sin and death, sin and death. Boom and bust. Good years and recession. Depressions. All that kind of stuff. Isn't that right? The only escape from it is not a new politician. The escape from it is doing the word. Which is the only thing in this last day that cannot be shaken. Everything else is going to shake. If you're not built on the word, you're with them. Up and down, boom and bust. I mean, but see, those who are doers of the word, they are, the word of the Lord will not change. It will not fail. It endures forever. Build your life on the word. Build your life on hearing and doing the word. And whatever's going on around out there, you'll be spared from it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. These things are not political. That's real carnal. That's real low-level thinking. I don't mean don't vote right. I don't mean don't believe God for the right people. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying it's not political. It's a cycle of sin and death. They respond to it, but they can't change it. Amen. How many of you know the Lord will warn you and I about these things coming? And He'll have us get ready for it. He warned people in the Bible. He warned Abraham about Lot, telling him, get him out of there. Get him out of there.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
Brother Hagin talks about stories where a couple of times the Lord would say to him, there's a recession coming, but if you do what I say, it won't affect you.
Yep. Yes,
you ever heard those stories?
Yeah.
We ought to be living that way.
Yes.
That's what the Lord was saying back there, what was it, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, February was it, where the Lord said the stock market's going down.
Yep.
It has.
Yep.
Amen. He'll warn us of these things.
Yeah.
Amen. Why does He warn us? Either, number one, so we can change it in prayer. But do you know you can't change everything?
Right.
He'll warn you so you can change it and your authority, getting through in prayer and the authority. He'll warn you so you can get ready for it.
Yeah.
Some things you can't change, but you can get ready for it and you can be spared from it because you're listening to the Holy Ghost. Do you know we're the head and not the tail?
Yes.
We ought to be ahead of these things by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Not going, whoops, that was the wrong time to do that. Come on, somebody. So He warns us about these things so we can either change it in prayer and our authority, get ready for it, or change the intensity of it, or delay it. Amen. Do you realize you can do that? You might not be able to stop everything for other people. Now, I'm talking about the other people. Your life, you can say, back in 2008 through whatever it was, the world out there had a recession. I didn't even know there was one going on as far as me personally, us personally.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it ought to be for the people of God.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
You still glad you came this morning? So their way out is to receive Jesus and start building their life on the rock, hearing and doing of the word. That's their way out. Hallelujah. You can't always stop them from having their boom and bust cycles. You can stop it from affecting you. Amen. You can't change everything around you, but you can sure live in victory right in the middle of whatever's going on all around you. 1,000 may fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. Only with thine eyes will thou see. You'll see it, but you'll not participate in it. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. God will carry His people. See, we're seeing the beginning of these things. I don't believe we're supposed to go through the tribulation, but we're seeing the beginning of these things. He'll carry His people through this if they'll trust Him. Faith is the big issue. Faith. Trust in Him. Believe in God. Using your faith. Doing the Word. Practicing the Word, whether it's popular or not popular. Not on whims, but on purpose. You just build your life on hearing what God says and doing it. Whether you feel like it or not, or your flesh likes it or not. I'm having a good service, are you? Hallelujah. And if you listen to Him, you'll sail right through this and won't even know stuff. I mean, it'll be like, oh, somebody said there's a recession. Oh, no, okay. Didn't know it. I'm just good as ever have been. Ooh, glory. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. Anything the Lord says, yes, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I receive that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes, yes. He just said something to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will do that, Lord. I will do that. Here in 1 Corinthians 11:31, we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. Whew, man, the Holy Ghost came on me. Praise God. He's so good. That means whatever, anything the Lord says to the church about judgment, the church can change by judging themselves. Someone said, change by using our faith and authority? Yeah, that too. But sometimes there has to be a judging of ourselves. The Bible said judgment begins at the house of the Lord. That's in your Bible. We're preaching on things we don't usually talk about. But anything the Lord says to the church about church about judgment, the church can change it because it doesn't belong to them. Hezekiah changed his judgment by judging himself. The Lord said, set your house in order, you're going to die. He cried out to the Lord and repented from some things. You read the whole story. And God said, go back and tell him, I've seen his tears and heard his prayer. And he judged himself and got that changed. For you and I, we can do that every single time. But we can't always do it for somebody else. Amen. The reason the nation is where it is today is because of the church in the United States. I'm talking about this nation. The reason is where is because of the church, the body of Christ. And this judgment is because they are not judging themselves. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The church is never to fear judgment. Never, 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 never. I'm talking about the true church. I'm talking about the true church. Of course, there's a lot of people call themselves the church. Amen. So if you and I want to overcome the skinny cow years, tell your neighbor, it looks like it might be some skinny cow years ahead. If you want to overcome that so it doesn't hurt you, and you can do that. Amen. We've got to store up. Just like God told Joseph to tell the king, store up. Somebody say, you mean, you know, get 3 months of freeze-dried food? That's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about store up the word. Store up the word. Store up the word. Store up the word. God has, that's what these last 40 or 50 years have been in the body of Christ for those who are listening. It's been the message of faith. Why? Because of what's coming. You better have a hold of this message because you're either going to have already learned it or you're going to have a lot of intense on the job training. Amen. Y'all crash course in faith. It'd be better that you don't have to have a crash course and an intense on-the-job learning. That's tough. But for people that have already prepared, stored up the word, stored up the word, stored up the word, they're ready. And they'll sail through it like it's not even hardly happening. Don't look at me in unbelief. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That's why you can actually rejoice in times like what we're seeing out there right now. Don't get scared. You can just say, I've been preparing this for the last X number of years. God had Noah prepared and in the boat. You know what that boat represents? It represents Jesus, yes, but it represents the promises of God. Building the promises of God into your spirit to where you've prepared yourself a boat that'll rise above anything that's coming. It just float on top of it. And have us a picnic, you know, so to speak. I'm not saying things won't be tests and trials won't come. I'm just simply saying you'll have what it takes. You got the unchangeable word that you built your life on. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, my, my. I hope you don't say, you're not saying, Pastor, that America's headed for judgment. That'd be terrible. Oh, really? Be our deliverance. There's been a lot of things the Lord said to me that the church has failed in. So it's going to have to be done another way.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what the Lord came on to me about just a few minutes ago. He said, now you're obeying me and saying this. This is a different anointing, and that's why it's different, because you're obeying me. Amen. But it's going to get done.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things can happen through our authority or through judgment. God says, you pick which tool. Amen. It's not necessarily terrible that judgment comes. I mean, for the Israelites in Goshen, did they sit around and say, this is terrible? No, they're saying, this is wonderful. It's happening all around us, but it's not happening to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man is sin blind. In other words, he's blinded by sin from seeing who God really is. You understand? He's trying to save them from going to hell. Trying to get their attention. He's also protecting the church. Amen. Now, get your eyes off all these events. Build your life in the Word. Don't spend as much time watching the news. If you don't spend any time in the Word, don't spend any time in the news. You gotta have some sort of insulation from what all's being reported. If I didn't constrain myself, I'd have been through 13 iPads already. I'd look at something, I'm like, bam, bam. How dumb can you be? There is some dumb people in charge right now. Dumb, 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 dumb. But I just say, hey, God's going to take care of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Get your eyes off all these events. Don't be a statistic according to Luke 21:26, where your spirit is failing you for fear because you're looking at all these things. Isn't that what that verse says? Hallelujah. Let me say it again. God's going to take care of us all the way up till we're out of here. See, someone, well, why don't we just get out of here? We've got a job to do. That's why. Be better for us in heaven. Yeah, but we got a job to do. We got to reach people. Listen, we need to be ready for whenever these people get shaken. Amen. Because they're going to look for answers, and here we are. Here we are. Ready to move into the new building because we need your space. We need space for you.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Woo, glee. Woo, I'm just having a good service. Jesus clearly stated at the end of all his teachings that he wants his people to be on assignment. Verse 45 through 51 there in Matthew 24. We read that, didn't we? Hallelujah. That's this gospel message assignment. Now, go over with me. Let's wrap this up here. Let's see here. My goodness, so many good things. Notice, where's Hebrews? Where's that at here? Hebrews chapter number... God gave me all this last night. Didn't get the headings on it like I wanted. You know what I mean? If you don't preach, you don't know. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. That's all right if you don't preach. Hebrews 12, 25. These verses, we have to get these before we go.
Yes,
Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. Praise the Lord. This is a different anointing this morning. Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. See then that you refuse Shekeda, Halamaki Shea. That's right, Lord. You did say that. Excuse me. I'm having a conversation. See. I'm shaking. Praise God. Entering into it. That's right. Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Not just spoke, but continues to speak. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then, let's talk about, you remember when Moses, God spoke to Moses out of Mount, what is that, Mount Sinai? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth, in other words, this is the last time, once more. This is the last time. Signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, in other words, the natural realm, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Oh my goodness. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Those things which cannot be shaken, and anybody building their life on it. Things that cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. Oh, here he is back to that kingdom. A kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That tells you the purpose of all this shaking. You see that? All these judgments are to shake things to the point of removal of wicked and evil men and governments and systems of those who are oppressors of the church. Yes, hallelujah. Who said hallelujah? Tell your neighbor, this is getting good now. Why? So that only the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Praise God. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. In other words, it can be shaken. It can be shaken. Hallelujah. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. That's Matthew 24:35. We read that. Only those who build their house on the word cannot be shaken. And whatever is built on the word cannot be shaken. If your financial stability is built on the economy or built on your job, that can be shaken. And will be, I'll just tell you. But if it's built on the word, you're living up here because of the word, the economy or whatever, the shaking knocks something out from under you, and you don't have to go down.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right.
You can, that, everything else is going blah, like, but you're, boom, you're just right there. Woo! Now, you got to read this. A little side note, Hebrews 12, here these verses, are actually referring to what he's quoting from Haggai 2, 6 through 9. You got to go over there. Haggai 2. Haggai 2. Woo! I know, we're running late. I've been preaching a long time. But I can't quit right now. Haggai. You want to meet Haggai when you get to heaven, so we got to read his book. Haggai, chapter number 2. Look, he's quoting here. Haggai 2, 6 through 9. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to just... Okay, verse 6. I've got to behave myself. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once as a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. He's referring to that. He just quoted that back there in Hebrews. He said that this shaking's coming. Yet once. In other words, he clarified in Hebrews, yet once more. So there's a shaking still coming. And then he said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And then this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts.
Thank you, Lord.
What's going to come out of this shaking? The desire of all nations. Oh, the nations just love Jesus, and that's their desire. They don't love Jesus, and that's not their desire. Now, he's going to come. Don't misunderstand me. But right in the middle of that, he said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. You notice that? The desire of all nations is the wealth of the world. That's what a lot of wars are over. A lot of fussing is over. I'm telling you what the Word says this morning. So you can see there that he's saying this shaking... Oh, come on now. This explains what's going to happen from Luke 21:25 as a result of this distress and trouble and anguish of nations bewildered and perplexed without resources. This shaking is going to produce no resources in the world system. Can't get credit, can't get money, the dollar's worth nothing because they printed it into oblivion. So when he says here, distress of nations... and wanting of resources. Can you see what's happening? Can you see this is all in this birth pains? As a result of this, you can see this financial system is going to shake and will cause an end time transfer. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, read James 5. First 7 verses, read James 5. And then he starts talking about the coming of the Lord. It's all so clear. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't have to say to you like the prophet said to that man who said, I don't believe there's ever going to be a... Remember, he said there's tomorrow by this time there's going to be... The economy's going to be totally turned around. We'd say it that way. And the guy said, I don't believe that. He said, you'll see it, but you won't participate in it. This is all participated in by faith. This whole end time, everything that you and I get in the end times, it's all received by faith. Hallelujah. By the way, when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among their tribes. That's what your Bible says. And that's a type of us coming out into the millennial reign. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I did it. I preached myself happy. Thank God. We see where we're at. And we see. Can you see, by understanding how the Bible says this, can you see how we're not... No wonder he said, don't be troubled. No wonder he said, don't be troubled. No wonder he's saying, we even said today, cheer up. By the Lord giving me this in the last couple of days, I understood why I've been almost half giddy. You keep hearing me say that.
Yes, sir.
But the stuff that's going on, I'm like, ooh. I don't want any. I love people. I don't want wars. What war destroys homes and families. I'm not saying that. Don't make me a tyrant. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying because I know what this is. These birth pangs. Something's going to come out of this. And let me tell you, it's going to be better. Going to be better. Get your eyes off of these events. Get your eyes off of these events. Stand up with me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Praise God for the word. Take heed to yourselves. We read this in Luke 21. Let your heart not be overcharged with drunkenness and surfeiting and the cares of this life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know why some people get drunk when it gets hard? It's because they're trying to escape all the trouble. And you know, hey, you can't hardly blame them if they don't have the Lord. Whatever works, you know. I'm not saying, and I'm not promoting drinking because drunkenness is destructive. It'll destroy your life. I'm not saying, when I say whatever works, I'm just saying that's all they've got. That's not all we got. Hallelujah. We got this word that endures and will not change. And this thing will, the word, I don't mean thing irreverently, but the word of God will hold us up. Let it shake. I don't wish it upon people because I love people. But for as far as me and my house, just means more for me, to be honest with you. Hallelujah. Some people don't like that, but that's the truth. People that receive it get the job done. People that don't receive it, they sit on the sideline and watch it happen and don't participate in it. Hallelujah.